We are discussing the first chapter of 6th Canto, titled The History of the Life of Ajamil. So, yesterday we completed with the Yamadutas meeting the Vishnudutas in Ajamil's house. And they are surprised that these four Vishnudutas could stop them from executing their duty on behalf of none other than Yamaraj. This has never happened before. They are shocked. So they ask the Vishnudutas, "You look like such gentlemen. How come you are not allowing us to do our duty on behalf of none other than Yamaraj?" So in response, the Vishnudutas said, We are not very sure if you are really the servants of Yamaraj, because we thought that the servants of Yamaraj would be well informed. So let's check whether you are really servants of Yamaraj. So can you please tell what is the nature of dharma and what are the characteristics of adharma? How is punishment administered? What could be the reasons for administering punishment? Who all can be punished? Is everyone punished, including animals, or only humans are punished, or amongst humans are there only particular human beings who are punished? So explain all these details to us, then we can discuss further. So this is where we ended yesterday our discussion. So if there are any quick comments, discussions based on what we discussed yesterday, we can take few minutes before we move on to today's discussion. Yamadutas reply to the Vishnudutas questions. Not in Bhagavatam. It's not clearly mentioned. Maybe it was Kali Yuga, I don't know, because it says that Ajamil is 88 years old and he is mentioned as being Pravayasa. So in other Yugas, 88 would not have been considered Pravayasa. That's my guess. But still these things always confuse me. I don't know. Not very clear, I don't know. Acha. Possible, I don't know. Yeah, because it does mention that the three Yamadutas came because of Vachika, Manasik and bodily of sins. It is mentioned, yes. Maybe it is just, that's a comment made by Srila Vishwanathacharya Thakur, and maybe someone extended it and did little philosophical speculation on this, probably. I don't know. Or maybe there is some pramana for it. I am not aware. Anything else? I guess they are also jivas only. I don't know what kind of qualification exam is there for qualifying as Yamadutas. But yes, there must be some certain propensities which are very suitable for probably becoming Yamadutas. Not very sure what not mentioned, but definitely they are Jivas. Anything else? Okay, so we will continue. I don't know if anyone does postmortem for, of course. See, for postmortem, regular MBBS doctor also can do. But if there is something called forensic medicine, so in that, probably where there is a suspected, if it's a big personality, if there is a suspected foul play or something like that, then, you know, I think probably there is a postgraduate degree which for of forensic medicine. Still not a very sought after, because most of, lot of it is legal than actual medical. So they have to know a lot of legal part also. Okay. So let's see, let's hear what the Yamadutas have to say. I mean, their answer is quite comprehensive, and you can see that they are quite well versed. And it's not a prepared class. They asked, they didn't expect it, but still they give a very comprehensive answer to the Vishnudutta's questions. Yamaduta uchuhu veda pranihito dharmo yadharmastadviparyayah Vedo Narayana Sakshat Swayambhuriti Shushruma. Veda Pranihito Dharma. You asked what is Dharma. He says, acts which are prescribed in the Vedas are Dharma. Adharmas Tad Viparyaya. Any act which is not prescribed in the Vedas is considered as Adharma. Vedo Narayana Sakshat. And the Vedas are non-different from Lord Narayan. Why? Swayambhuhu, because they are born from Lord Narayan. Iti Sushruma. This is what we have been instructed by Yamaraj himself. So, like that. So, Dharma is what is prescribed in the Vedas. What is in the Vedas is the nature of Dharma. And the rules of the Vedas are the measurement of Dharma. Because the servants of Vishnu asked about Adharma, the servants of Yama describe the nature and measurement of Adharma. This also covers the question about the reasons for punishment. So if one does not follow the injunctions of the Vedas, then he is fit for punishment. Doing what is forbidden in the Vedas is the measure of Adharma. The Vedas are manifested from the Lord. They arise from the breathing of Vishnu on their own. That's why they are called as Swayambhu. Otherwise, Swayambhu means self-manifest. So on their own they come out of the breathing of Lord Vishnu. Therefore they are called as Swayambhu. The Shruti says, the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, Asya mahato bhutasya nishvasitam etat yad rigvedaha. The breathing of the Lord is the Rigveda. Of course, originally the Rigveda was only there, and eventually it was divided into four. Okay.
Means Lord Mahavishnu or Garuda, also is the Buddhist. Any past
Secondarily, they come out of the mouth of Brahma, that is mentioned. But primarily, I think it's Mahavishnu only. Yeah, I think it's Mahavishnu only. The Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. But I will still verify it and let you know. Okay, someone can read. Whoever has the mic, read. Yeah.
They had heard from the authority Yamaraj. Mahajano yena katha sapantha. One should follow the Mahajan, the authorized person. Yamaraj is one of the 12 authorities. Therefore, the servants of Yamaraj, the Yamdutas replied with perfect clarity when they said, Shushruma, we have heard. The members of modern civilization manufacture defective religious principles through speculative concoction. This is not dharma. They do not know what is dharma and what is adharma. Therefore, as stated in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, dharma prajita kaitavo atra. Dharma not supported by the Vedas is rejected from Srimad Bhagavat dharma. Bhagavat dharma comprises only that which is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavat dharma is sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. One must accept the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrender to Him, and whatever He says, that is dharma. Arjun, for example, thinking that violence was adharma, was declining to fight, but Krishna urged him to fight. Arjun abided by the orders of Krishna, and therefore he is actually a dharmi, because the order of Krishna is dharma.
Again, Prabhupada is mentioning the same point. Arjuna fought because Krishna wanted him to fight. That is why he is dharmi. Dharmi means what? He is Bhagavad dharmi. Because Prabhupada says that is Bhagavad dharma. So there are different levels of dharma. One is by following what is given in the Vedas, like even the Karma Kanda or Nishkama Karma Yoga section or Jnana Yoga section, that is also considered dharma, because it is coming from the breathing of the Lord. It has been ordained by the Lord only. But to follow Bhagavad dharma means to follow sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. So there are different levels of dharma. To follow Bhagavad dharma means not just to follow the Vedas, which are non-different from Lord Narayan. To follow Bhagavad dharma means to follow Bhagavatam. That is sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. So here Prabhupada is indicating that Arjuna not just followed the Vedas, because one could fight because it is Kshatriya dharma also. So he didn't fight following Kshatriya dharma. He fought following Bhagavad dharma. Okay. So therefore Prabhupada says, and therefore he is actually a dharmi, because the order of Krishna is dharma. Of course, you see Prabhupada is going back and forth. Is the Vedas are non-different from orders of Krishna only. In one sense. But they are different kind of order for different kind of people. But the highest dharma is Bhagavad dharma, which is மாமேகம் சரணம் ரஜ, சர்வதர்மான் பரித்தியஜ மாமேகம் சரணம் ரஜ. ஸோ அர்ஜுனா இஸ் ஃபாலோயிங் தட் கைண்ட் ஆஃப் தர்மா. ஸோ தர்மா இஸ் வேரியேட்டட். Therefore, one should not, there is no point differentiating between, one may follow bhakti but one will not follow dharma, you know, those kind of statements make no sense. Because bhakti is dharma only. Bhakti is not just dharma, bhakti is paro dharma, provided one is following it properly under guidance. One may not following bhakti properly, one may not be following bhakti properly under proper guidance. So one should not conclude that and therefore he may be doing many kinds of nonsense. So the conclusion is not that, look, he is not even following proper dharma properly, how is he qualified to practice bhakti? He should first be taught dharma, then be taught bhakti. He said, sorry, your observation is right but conclusion is not right. The problem with him is not with his bhakti, the problem is he is not following bhakti under proper guidance. So rather than guiding him to practice dharma, guide him to practice bhakti properly. When he practices his bhakti under guidance, automatically everything else is taken care. So the problem is not taking guidance. The problem is not with bhakti. The problem is not with his qualification for bhakti. The problem is with the person not taking guidance. That is the problem. The solution is very simple. We need not complicate it. So dharma is, the scriptures talk about dharma in relationship with qualification of the person. So there is no meaning of dharma if adhikar is not defined. Otherwise there is absolutely no meaning of dharma. Before discussing dharma, adhikar needs to be defined. If there is a common understanding of adhikar, then we can start discussing about dharma. If that is not clear, we may have days and days of discussing dharma, 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 but at the end of it, what all is relevant for whom will never be clear. So therefore one should not say, oh, there is dharma and there is bhakti. No. Everything that is given in Vedic scripture is dharma only. But adhikara anusar dharma. Similarly, bhakti is also adhikara anusar dharma. But of course, the adhikar for practicing bhakti is? No. Human being. He has to be a human being. You know, that kind of adhikar is only given. So in that sense, anyone can practice it. And one who practices it by getting that adhikar of faith. So his consideration needs to have only one consideration, which is anukulyasa sankalpo pratikulyasa varjanam. Rest, all considerations are secondary. Rather, he should not consider. Because this one consideration is an all-encompassing consideration. This one consideration is an all-encompassing consideration. So therefore, other considerations should not be considered. If the spiritual master has told that, do this, this is anukul for your bhakti, then you need not ask, is it dharmic? It is not needed. The spiritual master knows better. So there is, for a person who has accepted bhakti, there is only one consideration. Is it anukul for bhakti or not? Rest of the consideration should not be taken actually. Which means you are insulting the all-encompassing nature of bhakti. Like that. Okay. So can you? Yeah, continue, continue.
Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Vedeshya Sarvair Ahameva Vedyaha. The real purpose of Veda, knowledge, is to know me. One who knows Krishna perfectly is liberated. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tat patah tatva deham punar janma naiti mameti sorjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjun. One who understands Krishna and abides by his order is a candidate for returning home back to Godhead. It may be concluded that dharma, religion, refers to that which is ordered in the Vedas, and adharma, irreligion, refers to that which is not supported in the Vedas. Dharma is not actually manufactured by Narayan, as stated in the Vedas.
Prabhupada says dharma is not actually manufactured by Narayan.
As stated in the Vedas.
It's manufactured by whom then? Huh? Okay, let's see what Prabhupada says.
As stated in the Vedas, Asya mahato bhutasya nishvasitam etat yad rugvedha iti. The injunctions of dharma emanate from the breathing of Narayan, the supreme living entity. Narayan exists eternally and breathes eternally, and therefore dharma, the injunctions of Narayan, also exist eternally.
So that's the point. Understand? It's just like the Lord did not create the jivas. Then the question is, then who created it? So when you state this in this way, it seems little controversial. But if I say the jivas are eternal, it sounds all right. If I say the Vedas were not manufactured by Lord Narayan, the question is, this sounds very controversial. But if you say, the Vedas are eternal, that sounds all right. So Prabhupada says the Vedas are not manufactured by Lord Narayan. So the focus is on the Vedas are not manufactured. That is the focus. But when you shift the focus, not manufactured by Narayan, then it seems like you are attributing some other cause of the Vedas. Similarly, when you say the jivas are not created by Lord Narayan, so the focus is on jivas by nature are not created because they are spiritual. So by Narayan or by Vishnu or by Krishna, by Lord Shiva, Brahma, everything is, in one sense the focus is not there. The point is, anything that is spiritual is not created, it is eternal. The jivas co-eternally exist with the Supreme Lord, that's the point. Same point Prabhupada is making here. So the focus is not on Narayan, by Narayan, but the focus is on Vedas are not manufactured, they are eternal.
Srila Madhvacharya, the original Acharya for those who belong to the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, says, Vedanam prathamo vakta harir eva yato vibhu ato Vishnu atmaka veda ityahur vedavevadinaha. The transcendental words of the Vedas emanated from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Vedic principles should be understood to be Vaishnava principles, because Vishnu is the origin of the Vedas. The Vedas contain nothing besides the instructions of Vishnu, and one who follows the Vedic principles is a Vaishnava. The Vaishnava is not a member of a manufactured community of this material world. A Vaishnava is a real knower of Vedas, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita.
So, one who follows Vedas means, one who follows Vedas, understanding the conclusion of the Vedas. Otherwise, one may follow Vedas. So, you know, have you studied the book, physics book? Yes, I have studied some portions of it. Which portions? I have studied the prologue, contents, and national anthem, and index. So, which means you have not studied actually. The essence you have not understood. You know, all the not so essential sections you have studied, but the essential sections you have not studied. So when you say someone knows the Vedas, means they know the essence of the Vedas, not the details. So one who after studying the Vedas comes to the conclusion that Vedascha Sarvair Ahameva Vedyo, he is the knower of Vedas. And here Srila Prabhupada is quoting Srila Madhvacharya. Again, I think, and this question keeps coming again and again. So, just recently, few days back, Adi Kesho Prabhu was mentioning to me that he just visited Vrindavan, and he saw in Radha Shyam Sundar Mandir. Anyone noticed? It is the fifth sampradaya. Like that, that's right. In Radha Shyam Sundar Mandir, they had put, I didn't see, but Adi Kesha Prabhu was mentioning that the Gaudiya sampradaya is the fifth sampradaya, it's independent from Madhva sampradaya. So he said, you have to explain this, what is this? Like that, he was asking me. So here Prabhupada is quoting Madhvacharya and he says, the original Acharya for those who belong to the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, he says. So the point is, it is true, and if you take whether Jiva Goswami or Vishnajoga Thakur or Prabhupada, wherever they quote from Madhvacharya, they quote on the principles, the essential principles which are generally universally accepted by all Vaishnava Sampradayas. You will never see them quoting Madhvacharya for establishing some specific Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. You will never see them quoting Madhvacharya for establishing Krishna of Vrindavan to be the supermost, or the gopis to be the greatest worshippers of Krishna, or the Goloka Dham to be the topmost, and those kind of, and Vraja Bhakti to be the topmost. You will never find them quoting Madhvacharya for all these things. So the point is, so they are quoting Madhvacharya in the same breath as he would quote Veer Raghavacharya or Vallabhacharya or anyone like that, for that matter. So it is true that we do come in the sampradaya of Madhvacharya. So, and we do have certain similarities with the sampradaya. But when we say that, you know, what are your sampradaya granthas? Just like every sampradaya have their sampradaya granthas. When we talk about our sampradaya granthas, it starts from the Goswami's writings only. So, when Baldev Vidya Bhushan tried to establish he might have, why didn't he directly establish all these things from Madhva's writings only? Why did he have to specifically write a commentary on Vedanta Sutras? So when he said, the natural commentary of Vedanta Sutra is Bhagavatam. But by then Madhvacharya had already written a commentary. Why didn't he quote? Madhva's commentary was there. We come from Madhva Sampradaya. Look, Madhvacharya's commentary is there. You want a Gita commentary? Madhvacharya's commentary is there. What else do you want? Vishnu Sahasranamam. Madhvacharya's commentary is there. The principal Upanishads, Madhvacharya's commentary is there. Why did he have to rewrite all those things? Why? So, we are not cutting our affiliation from Madhvacharya's Sampradaya, but at the same time, when it comes to our core Granthas, then and our when we talk of our Acharyas, I mean, what naturally comes to our mind? Vijayadvaja Tirtha? The Goswamis. So, the point is, this is an uncomfortable topic, but the point is, facts are facts. You can't just deny facts. So, philosophically, there are differences in practices. And if you see the Madhva practices, you will see very little similarity to the Gaudiya practices. The way they worship and everything. But at the same time, we do come in the Sampradaya. We are not denying that. So the point is, the reason why they might have written that is probably a backlash for the that comes because the Madhvaites never accept the Gaudiya Vaishnavites as bona fide followers of Madhvacharya. They never, except in the history, except for Pejavar Swami, no one else. And because of accepting it and because of his presenting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be an incarnation of Krishna, he has had to deal with severe backlash from the Madhva community. Severe. How could you accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna? Where is the proof? Of course, whatever proof we quote is not accepted by them. But it's not a very straightforward, clear proof, they would say. So the point is, but that is okay. See, whatever they accept, but the point is, the explanation is little roundabout. But we don't have to worry about it. Because when they quote scriptures, let's say when Sri Vaishnavites quote scriptures establishing Ramanujacharya as the incarnation of Shesha and all that, those literatures are also not very enthusiastically accepted by Madhvaites. And when Madhvaites very enthusiastically glorify Vishnu Sarvottam, Vayu Jivottam, in no other scriptures, whether it is Sri Vaishnavites or the Gaudiya Vaishnavites or Nimbarka, they don't even make a casual mention of Vayu as being of any importance actually. In any of Prabhupada's books, you have ever seen him speak about Vayu separately? Except in verses like Vayur Gandhani Vashayat, those kind of verses. And Vayu as the demigod Vayu. Never. So the point is, we are not denying what they are presenting. And if you read Madhva scriptures, again and again and again and again, Vayu, 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 Vayu keeps on coming. So the point is, again, Madhva? Madhvacharya and his followers, till before Madhavendra Puri. So therefore, we need not So there are both sides. We do have an affiliation with the Madhva Sampradaya in one sense, but not so much on a philosophical sense. Tattvavadis, Mahaprabhu did have differences, but again, there is in three purports the Tattvavadis are described by Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita. In two of those purports, Prabhupada says that the Tattvavadis is like an offshoot from the regular Madhva Sampradaya, and in one of those, in the third purport, Prabhupada writes the Tattvavadis is the other name used for Madhva's followers, like that he says. So it is not exactly very clear as to whether they are exactly. So the point is, we have to understand that where we agree, where we disagree. So one need not be very surprised that the. Such things are written in, as which was seen in Radha Shyam Sundar, because it is probably a natural backlash. For 500 years they have not been accepting. So okay, after 500 years they say, okay, if you don't accept, we also don't accept. So, but there is a sense in which it is true also. There is a sense. I am not telling it is true. But there is a sense in which it is true. And there is a sense in which we are connected also. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, when he wrote Krishna Hoite Chaturmukha, see, he describes all of them. When he says Parampara Jano Bhalo Mate, so he says, he quotes Madhvacharya and all of them in the line. But having said that, when Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur quotes our granthas, then it refers to Gaudiya granthas only. So that we have to be clear. But before going to Udupi, he had already taken sannyas. Yeah. Probably in Bengal at that time, the only sannyasis that were known as sannyasis were probably from the Shankara Sampradaya. Yeah, apart from being well known, I don't know if there is any other reason why he particularly chose. Oh, he also wanted to give specific mercy to that class of sannyasis who don't accept Krishna as the Supreme. Like that. Okay, any quick comments before we move on? Yes. In what sense we are actually connected to the Sampradaya? Because Madhvacharya did take Diksha from the Madhva line. Sorry, Madhavendra Puri did take Diksha from the Madhva line. And having said that, not that philosophically there is no similarity at all, the Dashamula Tattva, the 10 essential truths, is agreed upon, in essence agreed upon by all Vaishnava Sampradayas, that Shabda Praman is the topmost, and then the essential understanding of Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan is more or less accepted by all Sampradayas, including the Madhu Sampradaya. So beyond that, when it comes to details, then there are variations. Dashamala Tattva is compiled by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but he has just analyzed the scriptures and brought out 10 essential conclusions. But the very same essential conclusions are there in the Madhva writings also. They call it the Navaratnas. So the Navaratnas, why, then where is the 10th? Where is the 10th? The 10th is Shabda Praman is topmost, Pramana. That is the first one actually. And the Shabda, that Shabda Praman presents 9 essential conclusions. So in Dashamoola Tattva, the first Tattva is Shabda Praman is topmost Pramana. And what do the Shabda Praman say? 9 essential conclusions. The first 7 about Sambandha, 8th about Abhideya, and 9th about Prayojan. So that is accepted. And in when Vidyabhushan ji had, not Balde Vidyabhushan, singer Vidyabhushan ji, when he had come to Chaupati, he sang one verse composed by Srila Balde Vidyabhushan, where he summarizes the 9 essential conclusions of the Shastras according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The verse itself was composed by Balde Vidyabhushan. And he sang a similar shloka composed by Vyasa Tirtha. And that verse starts with Shriman Madhva Mate. So this is the opinion of Madhvacharya. And Balde Vidyabhushan's composition ends with Krishna Chaitanya Chandraha. This is the opinion of Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the essence, the 9 principles, the Navaratnas presented by Vyasa Tirtha, and the 9 principles which are the conclusions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, in essence, they are more or less same. So he says, Moksham Vishnuangri Labam Tad Amala Bhajanam Tasya Hetum. Moksha is what? Moksham Vishnuangri Labam is attaining the lotus feet of Vishnu, that is Moksha. Tad Amala Bhajanam Tasya Hetum. And the means of attaining that Moksha is pure devotional service. This is conclusion of both Madhvacharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. True. But when it comes to details of those practices, there are differences. So, in fact, this Dashamoola is accepted by all Sampradayas. In fact, that is what actually qualifies them to be a bona fide Sampradaya. But beyond that, you know, we will, you will see the strong influence of Bhagavatam and Vrajavasis and the love of Vrajavasis and the Gopis, you know, completely covering the Gaudiya practice, Gaudiya Siddhanta. And you will see Mahabharata and Vayu and Bhima and Hanumanji. These are the personalities who would be like strongly influencing the worship and practice of Madhva. And in Sri Vaishnavism, you will see Ramayana and the Alvar's writings, the Divya Prabandham and, you know, Sesha and Ramanujacharya, you know, these personalities completely shaping their practice. So, these differences will be there. Like that. Not so much emphasis as we give to chanting, as far as I have observed. But what I have observed is what originally it was, or whether it is Sakale Neha Mahata Yoga Nishta Parantapa version, I don't know. So what it is right now, is it what was actually established by Ramanujacharya? That I don't know. But what it is right now, I have seen. So what it is right now, that is true with everyone. I mean, a century back, if you had seen Gaudiya Vaishnavism as it existed, I mean, was it any similar to what was actually originally established by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? We do not know. No, actually not. That's what Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur established. So, but in their writings also, Harinam Sankirtan is glorified, but not to the extent it is glorified in the Gaudiya literatures. But that's okay. That is fine. So, and anyway, between sampradayas also, they don't accept each other. The Madhvaites vehemently reject Sri Vaishnavites. They call them borderline Mayavadis only. They don't go to their house and eat. Why do we have to bother? Have the Sri Vaishnavites given up their practice because Madhvaites have rejected them? No. Or have the Madhvaites given up worshipping Vayu and others because Sri Vaishnavites never mention anything in their scriptures about it? No. Why should we give up worship of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Vrajavasis because Madhvacharya never mentions about it? So the point is, again and again I bring back the same point, never compare our practices with other sampradayas practices, because our acharyas have established our practices. We should have trust in our acharyas. That is the point. Okay. Yes, Prego Peshko. Can you pass the mic to Prego Peshko? Where is the mic?
Last time you did mention that different sampradayas, according to the different desires of the practitioner.
According to the different?
Desires, or rather, where they attach to their Shraddha.
Uh-huh.
So different sampradayas, they have, why this? I mean, all are true.
Correct.
All are correct. So why is this? So if you can elaborate more on that. And
I'm still not completely clear about your question. Why do different sampradayas have different
practices, different understandings of Lord?
Oh, because the Lord is multifaceted. Because the Lord is multifaceted, therefore, from that particular vantage point, when you look at the Lord, the Lord, His paraphernalia, His associates who assist Him in that particular, in the pastimes of that facet of the Supreme Lord are different. And from a different facet, yadyadhyata urugaya vibhavayanti tattad vapuprenayase sadanukurahaya.
So, different jivas will get attracted to the Lord more stably into different facets of Lord.
Correct.
That's why this.
Depending on the association.
So, that's what my point was. When we say, okay, these are different paths. Because of the nature's...
Fixed jivas do not get attracted to... It's not that which jivas will get attracted to Gaudiya Vaishnavism, which will get attracted to Sri Vaishnavism. Mm. It's not predestined, if that's what your question
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that's what I was
I will read a passage from Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani. Recently, that's what we were reading. Just, it was quite a revelation to me also. But I will just read. Maharaj quotes extensively, and of course certain philosophical speculations also involved there, but of course coming from someone of his stature is acceptable. So, I will read, you will be quite amused. So this is from the 27th chapter of this book. Okay, sorry for taking time. Okay, what about someone, the third line I'm reading, what about someone whose eternal relationship is with one of Krishna's expansions? Doesn't Krishna consciousness revive that service attitude with the Lord and nothing more? What if someone has an eternal relationship with Narsingadev, and if he comes to ISKCON, what will happen to him? Will it revive his love for Narsingadev or what? So he says no. The followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who understand and have faith in the preeminence of Vraja Bhakti may be servants of Narayan form of the Lord. But the grace of Lord Gauranga awards them the devotion, residence and form of Vrajavasis. You see? So, association does influence. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains this while speaking to an assembly of devotees including Advaita Acharya and Shiva Thakur. This is from Sri Chaitanya Chandrodaya Natak. He is quoting from this. He is a very... I was quite amused and I would like to go and see if there are alternative translations for this particular thing. But this is a very landmark statement I am hearing. I would like to see alternative translations for this. If there are any alternative translations. If not, this is like a very landmark statement. You will also be surprised. Okay, just here. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking to Advaita Acharya and Shiva Thakur. So be it. I will go to Vrindavan and there I will accept you as my associates and with my sweet pastimes I will fill your hearts with bliss. To you who have faith in Vrindavan, I will give splendid spiritual forms like my own. That is what I will do for you. Those of you whose hearts are bound to me in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even if your rasas are friendship or servitude to Sri Radha Madhav or Lord Dwarakadish, or if your rasas are friendship or servitude to any of my other incarnations, I will make you into my eternally liberated associates in Goloka Vrindavan, he says. So this is from Chaitanya Sandrodaya Natak. That, of course, Maharaj's conclusion based on this. The conclusion drawn from this and other such statements by the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas is that the Krishna consciousness movement provides for its followers a place in Goloka Vrindavan. Whatever their constitutional position, devotees are promoted to the topmost abode to relish the topmost mellows of love. This is the essence of Lord Chaitanya's mission, to give love specifically for Krishna. Krishna prema pradayate. Of course, if devotees have no knowledge of or faith in Vrajabhakti, if their firm devotion is reposed in Vaikuntha form of Lord Krishna, then their destination will accord with their desires. Lord Chaitanya implies this in the above quote, which states that he awards devotees Vrajabhakti on the condition that they have faith in Vrindavan. If, despite ISKCON's directing its members to Krishna and Vrindavan, some devotees remain firmly attached to another destination, then surely Lord Chaitanya will fulfill their desire in that regard. No problem. If you are attached to Lord Ram firmly, despite our Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's writings and Goswami's writings, no problem. We'll send you there. However, this would be the exception rather than the rule. Another frequently asked question. Abhi ye question ka definitely the next FAQ would be, how can one's eternal identity change? In addition to the prime consideration that anything and everything is possible by Lord Chaitanya's inconceivable grace, by his grace anything can happen, but apart from that, the transcendental desires of devotees to serve in a particular relationship or more than one relationship are also considerations. More than one relationships. The Lord may promote devotees to exclusive service in Vraja or to serve simultaneously in multiple destinations, including Vraja. Someone may have only one form worshipping in Vraja. Someone may have one form in Vraja, another expansion form in Vaikuntha, another expansion form in Navadvip. In this way, they attain other identities while retaining their original ones. Original ones are not given up, they retain. This is from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He quotes from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He gives an example. Lord Vishnu's eternal carrier Garuda, for example, is also an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya called Garuda Pandit and is present in Vrindavan as Shri Dama. Garuda is an expansion of Shri Dama. Similarly, the everlasting Ganges river that flows from the causal ocean throughout the universe is also present in Goloka as the gopi named Vara Prema Manjari. Okay. And of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur states that Lord Chaitanya's followers may acquire eternal forms in Vraja as Vrajavasis and in Shvetadvipa as Sadha. Shvetadvipa is now Dvipa. Okay. And there is also another way in which the Lord's associates have multiple identities, and that is in their services in Vrindavan. So this is within Vrindavan. Balramji has all five rasas. Okay, like that. So this, does it address your question? Okay, yes, Muktakesh Prabhu.
Krishna carries Sri Dama on his
This. Oh, you have carried me. A very interesting fact. So in Krishna carries Sri Rama. In Vrindavan, Krishna carries Sri Rama on his back, but in otherwise Garuda carries Vishnu on his back. Yeah. Okay. We'll move on. येन स्वदान्यमी भावा रजः सत्त्वतमोमयाः गुणनामक्रियारूपैर् विभाव्यन्ते यथाततम्. बै नारायण, स्वधाम्नि, हु इज सिचुएटेड इन हिज अबोर्ड, अमी भाव, दीस लिविंग एंटिटीज, रजः सत्त्वतमोमय, हु आर कंपोज्ड ऑफ रज, रजः सत्त्व एंड तम, विभाव्यन्ते यतातम, दे अपियर प्रिसाइसली गुण नाम क्रिया रूपैहि. सो हु इज स्पीकिंग दिस? यमदूतास आर स्पीकिंग दैट फर्स्ट वेद प्रणिहितो धर्म ह्यधर्मस्तद् विपर्यय वेदो नारायण साक्षात् स्वयंभूरिति शुश्रुम. दे से दैट व्हाटएवर इज गिवन इन वेदास इज धर्म, व्हाट इज not given in Vedas is adharma, and the Vedas are non-different from Lord Narayan because having emanated from them, from Narayan. So then he says, it is by that Narayan only, who is situated in his own abode, that these living entities who are Rajas Sattva Tamomaya, who are covered by vasanas of Sattva, Rajas and Tamas, according to their desires and karma, they appear in various forms, having various names, qualities, like that. Okay. So, Srila Vishnajagada Thakur mentions, who is Narayan? Situated in Vaikuntha, the living entities are created exactly by his will alone, with qualities like peacefulness, names like Brahmana, actions like studying the Vedas, and forms like Varnashram. See, he has taken one example and he is explaining Guna Nama Kriya Rupaihi. Guna is Shamodamas Tapashaucham, name is Brahmana, Dvija, so on. Actions is Patan, Patan, Yajan, Yajan, Dana, Pratik, Dana, Pratigraha. And forms like Varnashram, like that. Yadatatam means properly. Someone, who has the mic? Read the purport.
The Vedas inform us, न तस्य कार्यं करणं च विद्यते न तस्समश्चाभिदेकस्य दृश्यते परास्य शक्तिर्विविधैव श्रूयते स्वाभाविकी ज्ञानबलक्रिया च. नारायण, द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड, इज अलमाइटी ओमनिपोटेंट. ही हैज मल्टीफेरियस एनर्जीज एंड देयरफॉर ही इज एबल टू रिमेन इन हिज ओन अबोर्ड एंड विदाउट एंडेवर सुपरवाइज एंड मैनिपुलेट द एंटायर कॉस्मिक मैनिफेस्टेशन. Through the
what is Prabhupada talking about here?
Swadhamni
is one aspect he is talking about. And also he is talking about Yena. It is by Narayan that all these living entities appear precisely according to their qualities, names, forms, etc.
Through the interaction of the three modes of material nature, Sattvaguna, Rajoguna and Tamoguna, these interactions create different forms, bodies, activities and changes which all occur perfectly. Because the Lord is perfect, everything works as if he were directly supervising and taking part in it. Atheistic men, however, being covered
says,
by the...
He says as if he were directly supervising it. But it is as if means so perfect. But because of that perfect relationship that he has with material nature. Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam. So it is all prakriti doing. Like that.
Atheistic men, however, being covered by the three modes of material nature, cannot see Narayan to be the supreme cause behind all activities. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7.13, Tribher guna mayer bhaver ebhi sarvam idam jagat mohitam nabhi janati mame bhya paramavyayam. Deluded by the three modes, the whole world does not know me. Who am above the modes and inexhaustible.
So, deluded by the three modes means Krishna how these three modes are actually deluding one from not seeing Krishna. Now, of course, originally they don't want to. And how are the modes facilitating? You understand? The desire is, I don't want to. So now, I don't want to see Muktakesh Prabhu. Let's say. Of course, I want to see Muktakesh Prabhu. Darshane Pavitra Koru. But that needs to be facilitated. Right? Let's say, hypothetically, I can't close my eyelids. So if someone has to facilitate it, then he has to bring a cloth or something and tie my eyes. So now, yes, it is true that the living entity does not want to see Krishna, but how are the modes facilitating it? By keeping him busy, absorbed in matter. So, when he is absorbed in matter, then he does not notice Krishna. Just like the arrow maker was not able to notice the king's entourage while he was making the arrow for the king only. So the three modes through the vasanas keep the living entity absorbed. Abhinivesh. Raga abhinivesh and dvesha abhinivesh. So through raga abhinivesh and dvesha abhinivesh, the living entity is completely absorbed in this virtual reality. No? Fully experiencing all emotions which keep him. The emotion of fear, the emotion of ecstasy, the emotion of eagerness, the emotion of feelings of separation, the emotion of love, the emotion of hatred. He is overwhelmed by this virtual reality. Like one would enter into a cinema theater and, you know, come out really feeling like, I remember, you know, my father used to take us to alternate Sundays or something like that. You know, those were the days of no internet and TV also, only the Doordarshan was there. So we used to go to theatres and watch these Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan movies. I used to come back home and keep fighting with the wall, kick the wall and sometimes beat up my sister like that. So, that keeps you, Mukesh Prabhu, something like that. So therefore, this is how the three modes. That's why Tribir Gunamayer Bhaver Ebis Sarvam Idam Jagat Mohitam Nabi Janati. So the false ego creates an identification, and the three modes do the rest actually. So this is you, and the three modes create all kinds of through vasanas. they pervade the mind of the living entity, and the living entity identifying with various things, something he has raga, with something he has dvesha, and this complex combination creates absorption to creating lot of emotions, complex emotions, and emotions keep the living entity completely absorbed. So he can't. So then the Supreme Lord is walking past, but pashyan api na pashyati. The eyes are open, but he is not seeing. Just like we saw the example of Pavlov's rat. The door is open, cake is out. He is like not seeing it at all. He is charging back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, wanting to eat the cake but not wanting to get that electric shock. So raga binivesh, dvesha binivesh, raga binivesh, dvesha binivesh, and then the whole Supreme Personality of Godhead is standing outside and the rat is not able to see. That is Krishna's. Pavlov was trying to, you know, in those days Pavlov, and in today's day and age those whoever manufactured these smartphones. So they have actually simulated. If only people would get little more introspective and guided, they would understand why they are not able to see God. Because you have created a system where you are not able to see your own loved ones. So, can't Krishna create a system by which you cannot see the Supreme Beloved? This is originally Krishna's system only. The whole advertising industry and everything, you know, they are just imitating Krishna. But the original plan is all Krishna's plan. Like that. Yeah, can you continue?
Because unintelligent agnostics are mohit, illusioned by the three modes of material nature, they cannot understand that Narayan, Krishna, is the supreme cause of all activities. As stated in Brahma Samhita 5.1, Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govindaha Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin. He is the prime cause of all causes.
Okay. So then they continue. Suryognikam marudeva soma sandhyahani dishaha kam kusvayam dharmayiti hyete daihyasya sakshinaha. By Narayan, the sun, fire, sky, air, devatas, moon, evening, day, night, the directions, water, land and Yamaraj. All these are witnesses of the activities of the living entity. So they all are witnessing. Because one may think, Are kon kya kya, aapko kaise bata? You have come to take him back to Yamaraj. How do you know? वो dark room के अंदर जाके कोई बिना देख के कुछ करेगा तो आपको ये सब कैसे पता चलेगा आपको? So they say, one may think of doing sinful activities secretly when no one is looking, but there are witnesses, and by Narayan only these witnesses appear. This is a continuation from the last verse. Day and night, water and earth are all witnesses. He quotes from Vishnu Dharma. Aditya Chandrav Anilo Nalascha Dyaurbhumi Rapo Hridayam Yamascha Ahascha Ratrischa Ubecha Sandhye Dharmopi Janati Narasya Vrittam. Same thing. The sun, moon, air, fire, sky, earth, water, mind, yama, day, night, dawn and twilight, and the Lord know the actions of man. They all are witness. Can someone read?
The members of some religious sects, especially Christians, do not believe in the reactions of karma. We once had a discussion with a learned Christian professor who argued that although people are generally punished after the witnesses of their misdeeds are examined, where are the witnesses responsible for one's suffering the reactions of past karma?
You see, this is a very vague, very weak understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, what is your understanding of the Supreme Lord? Is he omniscient or not? If you don't have even that kind of faith, then your faith is very weak. Because Jiva Goswami says, the understanding of God starts after one accepts his inconceivable nature. If you have not accepted his inconceivable nature, you have not started to understand God, he says. So here, the fact that they are asking such a question, you may not accept reincarnation, that is fine, but how can you even question who is the witness? Why? The Lord cannot witness? Is he not omniscient? Because this whole thing of rejecting karma brings in lot of issues actually. Lot of theological issues. Then how will you explain a child which is born blind, born deaf, disfigured, with Down syndrome? How will you explain all these things? Because they explain, as you sow, so shall you reap, that they accept. But if you don't extend it to, past life, then there is always an issue. Because you will never be able to explain, these kind of, some child is born rich. I mean, something as simple as that, how are you going to justify it? So then you will have to resort to various different kinds of speculations, like who was that? Was he a Jewish rabbi or a Kushna? What's his name? Or was he a Christian priest? So he came to the conclusion that because his son had the progeria, he would age extremely fast. So, and he died also. So, he came to the conclusion, because they don't accept karma. Actually, it is mentioned that the original Christians actually did accept karma, and law of transmigration they accepted. At some point it was scrapped off from Bible, that's what I have heard. I don't know to what extent it is true. But the point is, he came to the conclusion that the Lord can either be omnipotent and omniscient. So of the three things, omniscient, omnipotent and omnibenevolent, only two can be true. So in that we don't want to doubt the omnibenevolence of the Supreme Lord. So between omniscient and omnipotent, we have to sacrifice something. Because if all three are true, then you can't have children born with physical, mental disabilities. That is their understanding. This is the problem which comes. You have to directly shoot the Lord only. Otherwise you cannot explain certain things. Pull the Lord down. Sacrifice one of his qualities. Either sacrifice his omnipotence or his omniscience. Thank God they didn't sacrifice omnibenevolence. Then they would have made Saturn out of God actually. So at least they said, okay, we don't want to call him a bad God. Let's little bit sacrifice his omniscience and omnipotence. That's still okay. At least he's a good person. We can worship him. So this kind of speculation will start. That's the point. So Prabhupada is quoting about his discussion with a learned Christian professor. So who is the witness? Where is the witness? So which means he is actually sacrificing the Lord's omniscience. Can't the Lord witness? Then what kind of Lord is your Lord? What is your understanding of Lord? Yeah, can you continue?
To such a person, the answer by the Yamadutas is given here. A conditioned soul thinks that he is working stealthily and that no one can see his sinful activities. But we can understand from the Shastras that there are many witnesses, including the sun, fire, sky, air, moon, demigods, evening, day, night, directions, water, land, and the super soul himself, who sits with the individual soul within his heart. Where is the dearth of witnesses? The witnesses and the Supreme Lord both exist, and therefore so many living entities are elevated to higher planetary systems or degraded to lower planetary systems, including the hellish planets. There are no discrepancies, for everything is arranged perfectly by the management of the Supreme God. Swabhaviki jnana balakriyacha. The witnesses mentioned in this verse are also mentioned in other Vedic literatures. Aditya Chandra Anilo Analascha
Dyaur Bhumi Rapo Hridayam Yamascha Ahascha Ratrischa Ubecha Sandye Dharmopi Janati Narasya Vrittam. Same verse that he quotes, or Vishnu Chakravarti quotes, Prabhupada also quotes the same thing. Okay, so we'll pause here convene back at 11:30 and we'll move on from there. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.